Blog Talk Radio.
Live. And we're live from Shelley's Back Room in downtown Washington, D.C., heart of the nation's capital, the premier cigar tavern in the nation's capital. This is Backroom Politics, live from Shelley's Back Room, and with me, as always, our usual gang of thugs. With me today is Bob Hines, the Honorable Bob Hines, who, I'm going to try and get this straight this time, former vice president of NBC for government affairs, former floor chief for Congressman Gerald Ford, and former staffer at the White House during the Ford administration. Bob Hines is also a partner at Collings, Hines, and Swift, and also just a regular good political pundit. Bob, thanks for coming, as always.
We're going to give a B on that introduction. There were only two errors.
Oh, there were only two? Oh, geez. That is less than last time. At least I got Congressman Ford right. Also joining us right now is always intelligent, always fun to listen to, Honorable Al Swift, former Congress term from Washington's second, which included Bellingham and ports northward, correct?
Well, there weren't a lot of ports northward. there was Linden and
there was all of them.
And oh, wow. The views and expressions given by our hosts today are not necessarily those of, and also joining me, Vice President of Eurasia Center and just general pundit on all things national affairs and domestic affairs, Dr. Ralph Winnie. Doctor, welcome to Backroom Politics again.
Glad to be here, Justin.
I am your host, Justin Russell, and for the next 2 hours, we are going to talk about everything political inside the Beltway, outside the Beltway, anything that directly affects you politically. You'll probably hear it here today. I guess the first thing we've got to talk about is the breaking news that happened today, and that is Chairman Charlie Rangel, Ethics Committee came down and handed down a ruling that basically found him guilty on all 11 counts. That is huge. That is a huge it's actually a disappointing end. Arguably, whether you're Democrat or Republican, an arguably very solid political career as a representative from New York. We were just talking about that earlier, Bob. What are you thinking about that?
Well, he's had an illustrious career, and he's done a fine job. But he's one of the longest serving members. I think he's probably been there, 20 terms. And I think he probably just got a little sloppy in his bookkeeping. I think it's important to note the committee has not stated anything for reasons. They just did a lot of mistakes and didn't try to rectify it. When it's called into the way people used to do them the old way. They had a fast on thin ice.
And for those of you sitting out there, and I invite you to 619-638-8477. For those of you guys in the metropolitan area, that's 619-638-8477. Nationwide, our call number is 619-638-8477. We invite you to talk to us, give us your questions, your comments, your thoughts on the topics today. But I want to go back to Al. Al, you served with Congressman Rangel.
Yes, he was there before me and there after me. I didn't like it very much. I thought he was a very competent congressman. If what we prove, I'm sad if it's will have wrecked his reputation, but it's true. This badge again. Let me tell you a little story. I remember when we were having a floor debate, throwing a member out for, I mean, actually
right.
throwing them out
right.
of the institution for misconduct, and there wasn't any question that this guy was guilty. Nobody had a lot of. I was guilty of was because he didn't. So,
how do you peddle something you don't have? that's my question.
You find
that's dumb, impressive.
You find dumb lobbyists to go from there.
But I believe I resent that.
Wow, I resemble that remark. That's horrible.
The chairman of the ethics committee at that time, and I should remember his name. He was the crippled member Democrat from Florida.
Congressman Charlie Bennett.
Charlie Bennett, who had been badly injured in the war and had great difficulty walking, though he never ever missed a vote. And Charlie was one of these rigid people on ethics, just terribly rigid. And he had presented the case against him very straightforwardly, very actively, and very well. And as they were voting, and it was almost an overwhelming to throw this guy out of Congress, I walked by and Charlie had tears streaming down his cheeks. And these weren't tears for the guy, tears for the institution that it had come to that. And so you have to feel a lot of regret when something like this occurs.
We, you know, you said, I mean, it's unusual for Congress to vote a member out. That just is, that I can't, the last person I think was maybe, was it Rutkowski or?
No, the gentleman from
Ohio.
Traffic guy.
Yeah, how do we forget his name? That guy.
Did you say the gentleman?
The only person who voted against it was Gary Condon.
Ironic,
yeah.
As it is.
Yeah.
You know, but it's understandable. They are, you know, Congress, to vote somebody out of Congress is very serious. For ethics charges to be brought up, for it not to be handled internally inside the walls, inside the thin blue line of the halls of the House or the halls of the Senate is not normal that we see in our front pages.
Right.
So when it does happen, and now we've got two, Charlie Rangel's decision just came down today, and now we got Maxine Waters in the batter's box ready to go. Is this a witch hunt? Are they really looking at cleaning? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Speaker Pelosi made it a point to say, look, I'm going to make this the most ethical Congress in the history of Congress. And yet, all of a sudden now, you've got two arguable leaders.
Bill Jefferson before
Jefferson.
I think that's that come out from her colleague, someone over at Timothy Shirler.
Well, you know, it's as we look forward, and that's another we're going to touch on later on, is a leadership issue. But right now, Charlie Rangel, I mean, what are his next steps? Where does he have to go? I mean, he's going to finish out the term unless they move to expel him from Congress. Is that a possibility, Al?
Well, I think it is. If what he says about not having any money is true, I don't know what he does. He's a very bright man. He is a lawyer. He could defend himself. I don't think anybody with any knowledge of the law would recommend that. Besides, you can't do it by yourself. You need hordes of people to file through records and so forth. So that seemed to be something to do. But I don't see him tipping that walking away either. So I think that remains to be seen what he's going to do.
Well, I'm not sure. Did anybody bring the 11 charges? Do we have the 11 charges that he was found guilty of? I mean,
no. He's not been found guilty as an act that I know.
Okay.
The charges have been laid out. There's been no rebuttal as of yet. He has said, I need some time to get a lawyer, and I don't know what the committee is going to do about that. But they have a right to go forward. But I must say, I don't think he's going to be removed from Congress, and I will tell you why. yesterday, the chief investigator for the committee said in open trial, in the open hearing, that there, he did not see corruption. He did not see doing wrong in order to get money illegally. He made mistakes. He should have. He was sloppy. But he did not find corruption. And if you don't find corruption, I suspect that that means that he will not be removed from the body.
And let me take a swing at the media bit. And I think we're just getting very close to being guilty of this ourselves, using the term he was found guilty. He wasn't found guilty. It's a shorthand for what happened in the committee.
Right.
They voted on charges. And it's still very serious, and much of what we said still applies, but he was not found guilty. And I'll bet you that 90% of the reporting is going to report he was found guilty.
Well, you know, in the interest, I mean, and again, those of you who are joining us for the first time, again, our show is based on an initiative, grassroots initiative, here inside the Beltway called First Congress Society, which is basically bringing back the mudslinging that's usually associated with politics today. In the interest of fair time, fair justice, can you guys, as parliamentarians and statesmen, what is the process of, you know, when words are coming out in the media that Charles Franklin had some legal issues he had to deal with inside Congress, some ethical issues that were going to be brought in front of the committee, what's the process that they go through to get from speaking to Bob, what's the process here? It's a process that you know about.
I'm not an expert. I don't want to pretend I am on this. I'm not sure about everything, but I think I understand how it works. If there is a complaint made to the committee, and the committee believes the complaint may be valid, it is a serious complaint, then what they do, they have got to have the facts, all the facts, both that are incriminating, if you will, and those that are exculpatory. Gather all the facts and present them to the committee. And the committee is a bipartisan, I think it's five members from each party. It's a totally bipartisan committee, and the members, and I think it's fair to say the leadership on both sides of the aisle tries to find people for the committee. And it's not a job anyone seeks, I might add. Nobody wants to be on the committee on ethics.
In fact, Tom Foley, a speaker, once said anybody who wants to be on the committee should never be allowed on the committee.
I mean, it makes sense.
It does.
So then the committee takes a look at the matter, and if they believe on a preliminary basis that there is enough evidence to hold hearings, and then they will tell the member involved that he or she needs to come forward with evidence that he or she can present that will explain what has happened and why he or she are not at fault. At that point, about where they are right now, because they made a decision that the evidence against Mr. Rangel for at least bad activities, things he should have done better. I think there are either 11 or 13 counts. I'm not
11
sure
counts. 11 counts.
11 counts. So at that point, then in effect, the committee says to the member, we're going to have a hearing. That you would call a trial in the judicial system.
Right.
We're going to have a hearing. You can bring witnesses. You can have a lawyer. We'll have the whole thing. We'll go through the whole process.
So in legal terms, basically what's happened is the quote-unquote grand jury of Congress has in fact handed down a quote-unquote indictment against Charlie Rangel.
And had Charlie had lawyers with him yesterday and wanted to go forward, they would have gone forward.
Well, I want to bring that subject. We'll talk about that in a second. But going back to the process itself, is once it goes down to the full committee, they hand down rule, the committee has said that there are there's enough basis for the charges to move forward. We now get to move in front of the full ethics committee, which then proceed with for lack of a better word, the trial hearing phase, and then they will adjudicate punishment from there, whether it's censorship or they could move the House.
They will report a resolution to the floor of the House for the House's consideration. And the House votes up or down on the resolution.
Al, as a member of Congress, you've obviously known many, many members, a lot of the old school members. And
I voted on some of this stuff.
Well, what are your thoughts going through this? When, you know, a member of the fraternity / sorority is brought to the resolution inside the hopper, what do you think? How do you adjudicate this?
Well, adjudicating it is something that you have to separate yourself from your feelings. It may be somebody who you personally like. It may be somebody whose legislature you admire. If the evidence is, however, that they are guilty of, you have to separate all of that and you have to vote for whatever the penalty is in that instance.
Right.
But it is wrenching. I think some people say, well, you guys don't want to vote against each other. They're absolutely right. I don't know of any kind of a fraternity, and I'm using its broadest sense,
right,
who likes to see a fellow member go down, even if they're guilty. And congressmen are human beings, and they feel the same way, too. But if you look at the number of times they have done it, you realize that they do it, they can do it, they will do it, and just because it's a difficult matter doesn't mean it's done.
This is obviously something that takes a political toll on everybody involved, but it's also something that I guess takes a personal toll on you as you're making these decisions, as you're hearing these charges being brought.
My friends who are on the committee, close to the committee, have some knowledge of it and who are lawyers. I can recall, for example, in the case of Jim Wright's book, I've never told anybody this before, Jim Wright. He was a very very good speaker. And a close personal friend of mine came in on the inside, and I said, well, what about Jim? And he didn't say anything. He just shook his head. And I got that to mean in 2D.
Wow.
2D.
Wow. Again, call number 9-8-8-4-7-7. We'll get here in, and you'll have some today. You see this unfold as an attorney. To the charges that have been brought against Congressman Rangel, would this be something that you would see in a criminal? Something that we see these types of charges being prosecuted inside the normal judicial. This is specific. Is this something we should start seeing, or is it something we're going to see more of, or do we just leave it in front of Congress?
No, I think you're going to see more and more of these cases come up because there's a strong push for ethics in government, ethics in business. So many people are hurting in this country, and just not much. Can't get out of the system and get away with it anymore. They're just in the outlets and let them get away with it.
again, dealing with the technical issues of being live, we're back live at Backroom Politics here at Shelley's Backroom, downtown Washington, D.C. And basically go around the horn and say, okay, they've come down with the charges. They've come down with the next move to the full committee.
I've never. Of heinous crime, doesn't mean that.
Yes, I think he gets convicted. But what will be interesting is the IRS will come in and go after Rangel for non-payment of taxes. And that absolutely.
I'm going to finish out this segment at the bottom of the hour. It's funny because one of the things that we've always talked about is this into our second segment. When we going on with Charlie Rangel and how it's been portrayed in the air. Many times, is Charlie Rangel getting a fair shake in the media today, or is it just the usual?
To really know the answer to that, you would have to be inside Charlie's office and see what they are seeing. That doesn't mean that their view is any more accurate than the prosecutorial view, but it is a different view. And having been attacked in the media in the past, I know that sometimes you have some very difficult to explain truths.
Right.
And can I tell a joke?
Of course you can. You can always tell a joke. This is your roundtable too.
Warren Magnuson, who used to be a very, very powerful senator in the United States, was a senator from the state of Washington, and he used to tell this story about when President Truman flew out to the West Coast to sign the United Nations. Then we had they would catch a salmon for Harry Truman. On low decks for a nap. He was talking about that. They all went down and
semantics. Semantics.
Maggie stood out and he had this idea that if they could get a salmon, they could hook it onto the line and Truman could pull it out and he'd say he caught a salmon. A couple of Norwegian fishermen over in a little boat. They called him over and he says, how's fishing, boys? And he says, we've been fishing, been good today. He said, would you mind selling me one of those salmon. They said, "What are you, a game warden?" No, he says, "Oh no, I'm Senator Magnus." "Oh, Senator Magnuson, we know who you are. We'll give you a fish. In fact, we'll give everybody a fish." So they got a fish for the president, secretary of state, the governor, and for Magnus. And next time Magnus back to the state, he got a call from a good friend of his who ran a mill. And he said, "You got me in a hell of a lot of trouble." He said, what do you mean? He said, "Well, the last time you that's when she did it." Ended up in court. Now, what were we talking about?
I don't know, but that's a great story. That's a great story. We're butting up on the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take this opportunity to take a 2-minute break, and then we will back room, 13th Street. Come on. Here we go. Folks, have a good one. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Room, 1331 F Street in beautiful downtown Washington, D.C., the heart of our nation's capital. And it's actually kind of a rainy day, kind of enclosed nerve center of back politics. We're live, and we invite everybody to call in. Area code 619-638-8477. For those of you that are outside the San Diego area, the call-in is 619-638-8477.
Has anybody passed them down?
No. 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 Not necessary. We're loved by few. So. Several pieces of music by a former Dixieland band leader that I kept saying
because you are so fairly wrong. I must nail you. I had
who, all right. Who is our bumper music? It's Kid Ory.
That's
Hawaii.
What?
You're from Hawaii?
That's right.
I'm kidding.
The reason I knew this is I had LP.
Chairman Charlie Rank.
Yeah.
And we're
we have just seen it move on the ticker tape. But, the committee has found him guilty.
Down by the committee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Reporting.
Center of Shelly's Back Room. Started the program. I know. I know. All of a sudden, it's out. The partisanship. Yeah, I gotta have more room for Murdoch. That's a whole nother subject for a whole nother. He could survive this. Is it a question now? Do we in fact, then it doesn't apply to them? That's been a public conception for many years. Our problem is somebody, for lack of a better term, crazy. Things we
are years of error and social didn't. On the red eye and flies back through View of it as well, that all the dangerous places of the standard eggs, and so on and so on.
Kind of attack.
Admit it's all administrations. To some degree, are incompetent, make mistakes, make decisions that
see more members being held to the fire? Are we going to see more charges as minimal or as maximum as they may be?
I think you're going to see a Republican go after because they don't want like they did during the Clinton era. They held many hearings on whether Clinton had committed an impeachable offense.
Right.
If they overreach to have people are just saying, look, you know, we're tired of you. We're going to throw you out of office the next time around.
Okay. We're just noticing here live, just so you know what we see, Congressman Al has just spilled martini all over.
That was soda water. I'll let you know when the martini starts.
Yeah, as you can tell, you're going to hear various orders. You'll hear various clicking noises. That's us either live or our next drink.
So Justin, I wanted to add this one issue that's going to be very important: the selection of the new chairman of the House Appropriations Committee.
Right.
The former chair and current ranking member Jerry Lewis, as you know, was term limited under Republican rule.
Right.
Now, Representative Lewis is asking for a waiver from the Republican Congress. You have many conservatives who
conservatives in the caucus.
All right, so
dangerous to go after for reasons like someone who's like bored, as I said, you always bang one of your own friends.
Well, you bring up Jerry Lewis. I don't know either.
What I said was true, so write it in large letters somewhere. But
We're back live. What's the idea?
They'll need a vote on this, but I think that we should offer a martini that we will pay for anywhere in the country for the first person to come up with a negative word during today's program.
Look, it's either do this or we go to a studio. I'd rather do this. I can put a bar in the studio. I can make a drink. Podcast live from a studio down Florida Avenue if we have to. Anyways, welcome back. Blog Talk Radio. Come to the front of the hour, Bob. I know you've got a part of engagement in our interest.
I am testifying before one of the commissioners that the county set up issues.
Any chance you're going to jail?
No, that would ruin
part of our show. We don't want to do that.
I have merely asked to be a witness, so explain something that they need to know. I'll leave it at that.
I'm an expert witness.
Subpoenaed?
Nope.
Did Chairman Issa issue a subpoena? No?
No,
oh, you're the one. Wow. There was another. Oh, wow. a joke too?
Oh yeah.
Also joining us in the studio today, we are very fortunate to have a good friend of mine, who is a federal appointee from Small Business Administration, also former staffer on the Senate side of the Hill, and just general political side of the Beltway. Cindy, thank you for us today. That's kind of you.
You're buying my beer, right?
I'm not buying you squat. We're not getting paid for this. How is that? No way.
And now I can't tell a subpoena joke either.
You see, I was waiting for you to say, well, she's from the Senate. She's part of the problem.
Well,
Yeah. I got one word, filibuster. That's a whole nother show for you guys out there in politics land.
I do have my friends in the house.
You do. Thank you very much for joining us. Bob, we're sorry to see you leave. We're coming up on the top of the hour. We're going to take a two-minute break. Not that you guys haven't had a bunch of breaks, because we've been going in and out and in and out. It's like a
count. A martini is
right. That's right. There's a martini. Yeah, anybody that can come down and tell us how many times we've broken up today, you're more than welcome to join. Wow, we're having a whole studio. I would venture to say there's probably more people in here that actually listen to the show. But we'll take that break. We're going to take that as a compliment. Kids, we're going to leave you with some more, since Kid Orr is the two today. We'll be back in two. We're live from Backroom. This is Backroom Politics.
Thank you.
Representing Washington 2nd District, Emmy Award-winning broadcaster, and Brad Calling Hines and Swift.
That is Calling Swift and Hines.
Calling Swift. Oh, I'm, my gosh. I
you know, Hines is never a member. He doesn't deserve the credit of me.
Okay, I just want to on record right now, Al has started his first martini. The show is now going to get really good. Joining us as always, as he is every Tuesday, is Dr. Ralph Wendy, your age is there. Oh, welcome back. Thank you. Thank you. It is 5 on the East Coast. It is 2 o'clock out on the West Coast. For those of you who wish to dial in the metropolitan San Diego area, you can call 619-638-8477. Or nationwide, you can dial in 638-8477. We start our hour of backroom politics. Let's talk about now what's going on with the change in leadership in the House. Let's talk about what's going on in the Senate. And let's talk about, we mentioned it last week in between the technical hiccups, but let's talk a little bit about what's going on this week. The Democrats have come out with their slate, and people are talking that Nancy Pelosi is still going to be the presumptive punching bag for the Republican Party by being the minority leader. Steny Hoyer of Maryland is going to be the minority whip, and a deal was struck with Labor. It's going to be the minority. What is
he's very good. And what he did by not moving up was to create a situation unusual in that basically squashed the leadership back in too few positions. So they had to create one. You don't want to get rid of the first black in Democratic leadership since Bill, what's his name? headed the Bill Gray.
Bill Gray. Right.
And you can do that. If she had moved on graciously, there was no doubt that those three would have been elected without any problem at all.
Do you think that, all due respect to Speaker Pelosi, could do anything gracefully right now? I throw it out there only because of the fact, I mean, let's be honest. Speaker Pelosi has ruled with an iron fist in her Congress.
She is not the San Francisco lady that everyone said the San Francisco. She is a Baltimore politician raised watching her father, who was the boss of the city. Probably just ran the same way Mayor Daley ran Chicago, and that's where she learned how to do it. And she is not gracious in her politics. Personally, she is very gracious.
Right. Well, I go back to the original question. With her coming off the podium, with her coming off of the speaker, is she going to be able to do anything?
Here's what the people who...
Rob, what were you going to say?
Well, by not bringing Buck to the leadership position, she runs the risk of alienating moderate to conservative base in the Democratic Party and helping the Republican Party.
Can she be successful in that? Side. I know we would have too much bandwidth and we would never broadcast out at that point. But when I'm coming from the Republican side, just so you guys in Radio Land know, Cindy just kind of perked up. She's like, ooh, yes. Well, okay, there we go. On the Senate side, coming from the Senate, does Nancy Pelosi have the credibility to get things done, even as minority leader? Well, speak up. Don't shake your head.
No.
Yeah, it's not, well, tell why.
But what would the Senate know about the House?
What? There's got to be. I mean, you've got companion bills. You've got legislation initiatives that they want to push.
They're intended of it, if, you know, in terms of how they come up with their own bills. They'll be interested in what happened here.
What happened here?
Republican
official.
Oh,
we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in the next segment. That's a good one there.
Yeah.
Folks, one of the benefits of having a large screen TV in our studio is we get to see what's going on, and we'll give you breaking political news. Cindy, back to you. I mean, can she really be an effective minority leader with the Democrats still holding the majority in the Senate? Can they get things done? Can Obama get his political agenda through with them still running with her being a minority and the Senate still being a
part of it? But I think the Senate, because it operates,
and a question. It seems to me that if you look at people who are in the Democratic Party, Nancy Pelosi, they will tell you the reason she's tough. The question is tough what they really need right now?
few things with the bus. Is she as tough as the insiders know?
Yeah.
But she comes across as this very modest housewife from the Bay Area. She is tough.
That's her public persona, but she obviously knows how to crack the whip.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, she's going to run the Democratic Party off a cliff.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because she's a liberal. Country is not liberal. Moderates are conservative, and they want both parties to work together.
I think too, last Tuesday's election pretty much proved the way that she used to run the country. Mr. Skelton, chairman of the House Services Committee, for years, very bipartisan when it comes dealing with military issues. You know, you're talking.
Oberstar.
Ken
Oberstar
lost. Right.
Ken Dorsey.
Exactly.
Right.
Ken Edwards from Texas.
Yes.
I mean,
right.
Talk about as conservative as you get. And I think the election just proved that the direction that she was in her party was not the direction that America wanted.
Al, as a former Democratic member of Congress, you served with Congresswoman Pelosi, I think, at the time.
Yes.
You've had interactions with her. Would you feel comfortable having her as your minority leader if you were still seated in Congress?
I would have voted Steny Hoyer for speaker in the first place.
You would have?
Yes, oh, absolutely. And I was, and I expressed last week on this program that I like disappointments. Otherwise, devastatingly disappointing elect for a Democrat. And one was that she has decided to stay instead of letting the normal course flow and giving Hoyer a chance to see a formal working relationship with Boehner.
No, not yet. You reference. Let's call her. Call her. Turn your hair. I'm Shelly's friend. You're on the air.
I don't think it bodes well for the Republican. Seven times we broke.
He wants a free martini.
Martini.
He wants a free martini. Open, closed nerve center of our broadcast empire. He's back. Let's see. Caller. Wait a minute. Try it again. Caller, you're on the air. Caller, you're on the air.
I'm here.
Caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Shelly's Back Room. Caller, welcome to Shelly's Back Room. Caller? Caller, try it again. Try it again.
I'm reminded of the old
phrase. It is frightening. This is. We got callers now.
I know, but we can't hear
them. Caller, are you on the air?
Yeah, I'm right here. What are y'all doing?
Okay, caller, please, with your question.
I don't have a question.
Please.
Again, off of the thought I've been planning. Yeah.
Or your comment, call.
I don't have that either.
Oh, okay.
Just listening.
Just listening.
You're killing my drive time.
Can I get your name, caller?
Yeah, this is Mayo.
Yeah. Well, call with us.
You guys keep breaking up. You guys keep breaking up, though. Are you on Skype? Hello.
And we're back live from Shelly's Back Room. We were so excited we had a caller. This is just the first time we've had that. So stick with us, callers. Out there in Radio Land, for those of you guys that are listening, stay with us. We're going to fix the technical issues. We're going to have a little talk with our radio station host and try and get these worked out. But, again, thanks for calling in. Thanks for your support.
Yeah, because there are six of us on the table, and you make seven listening to the program.
Wow. Wow. Baby steps, Al. Baby steps, Al. Jesus Christ. Baby steps. So anyway, back to the topic at hand. We've seen the slate come out from the Democrats. Question is, the Republicans. Who do the Republicans pick for their slate? Cindy?
I have no idea.
Spoken like a true insider.
Woo!
Yay!
Throw their hat in the ring, but
all right, well, who would throw the ring?
Well, definitely Mitt Romney.
No, for House leadership.
House leadership?
Yeah.
Mitt Romney.
Baby steps, Al. Baby steps.
Justin.
And wait a minute, we have another caller from the 201 area code. Yeah, okay. This is awesome. We'll find out. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Justin, it's Rhea. How are you?
Rhea Chandler. Rhea, thanks for joining us.
Hi, I just want to say congratulations on the launch of your new show. This is exciting.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Do you have a question for the roundtable?
No, I'm getting ready to take a nap so I can be on the air myself on my own show in 3 hours. So I'm taking a nap, but I just wanted to say congratulations.
Okay. Thank you for calling,
you
caller.
You have the second best laugh in radio after mine.
Thank you for calling, caller. No, actually, it was a friend of ours, Rhea Chandler, who
It was
Rhea and Chandler.
Oh.
From Rhea and Chandler. And basically, she was promoting her radio show on our. I was going to say, Ray, if you're still listening, you're probably going to get more listeners on your own show than promoting yourself on
a show.
Huh?
What's her show?
I'm not giving them free press. The hell is that noise? Let them sponsor. Let them buy advertising. This is free. This
working. Work.
Oh, please. No. This is all about.
I probably need Bob because he's the guy that.
Bob knows this stuff. Well, since we've unexpectedly gone into freeform because the callers threw us off, let's talk about the Republican Party for a second. We just saw something scroll over. Oh, here comes Al. Al's getting ready for fodder now. Al's getting ready for fodder. Yeah, okay. So, Al, we're going to talk about this, and you can go off. Does he stay chairman with, we saw some high members calling for his resignation, does he stay? Al?
No. Well, I have watched a lot of
statement. Ralph, you're a Republican.
Even though they had a huge election night victory.
Why do you say you hate to see that? I would think you would be overjoyed to see something.
In Hawaii, he was the one that asked the resources to be national.
You don't say. You think hey, we're back live from Shelley's back room. And we're back live. 1331. And back up from Shelly's back room. We got the connection started. Here's the amazing thing about technology, kids. We've installed like the best router possible in this thing, in this place, and yet right now I'm connected via cell phone. We're now running off of a hotspot off my phone line.
That's
this
awesome.
Is going
is
to be a trick. Thank
awesome.
You. By the way, thanks to Sprint for having the Evo 4G. Cell phone, because apparently you can do no problem.
Yeah,
but you know. By the way, I gotta say this. You know, the fact that you know we've got a living Medal of Honor winner that is coming through, that is huge. That is absolutely huge.
Recipient. World War II, Vietnam.
65, I think. Yeah.
But anyways, we're back live from Shelly's Back Room with Al Swift, Ralph Winnie, myself, Justin Russell, Nico, and just about everybody else in play that's here today. Thanks for staying with us through all the technical problems. It looks like we may actually have a solution. We're off the cell phone. I'm taking that router back.
Maybe we can call everybody.
Yeah.
Please try calling in now.
Call. Yeah, if you're a caller listening on, listen to us. Call 619-638-8477. 619-638-8477. We're down to the last 25 minutes of what was a great show until the last half hour. We appreciate everybody staying with us. You know what, kids? We don't need music. We don't need a break. Let's just go to Freeform right now and talk about anything that you want to in politics. Anything. What were you going to talk about, Cindy?
No.
Al, do me a favor. Fix this. What do you got a resume in the industry to set this for? So different from this, I swear to God.
Is Al too?
Let's try this out. Okay. What happened here? Would you? Well, we're still alive, so. Oh, okay. Oh, excellent.
Oh, so there's an hour.
Al, go ahead.
I hate to break up the party spirit here, but I'd like to introduce a serious topic that we're going to be talking a lot about as it goes on. I just need to comment that democracy works great as long as you give things away. Giving tax cuts away, setting up programs
right.
to help people.
Right.
Democracy doesn't work as well when you're taking things away. Look at Greece. Look at France. And we are going to have to ultimately deal with taking things away that are going to be very unpopular with the people. Conservatives are not going to like cuts in defense. Liberals are not going to like cuts in health care, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. Now, by taking it away, it might simply mean you've got to work on qualify for Social Security. And can democracy sustain the things it needs to do in very, very, very tough times?
Well, you have certain powerful interest groups that are not.
What are you going to, I don't know how you're going to cut anything unless.
Al, I bring up defense. How are you going to cut the defense?
And that's the biggest part that's causing the deficit.
I think what's going to happen. I think what's going to happen is that I think you're going to have a generalization that might ultimately be to put capability to be president, that you're going to have to find more an effective way to do business. That's the only way you're going to get anything done. And I think this administration needs to come to that same conclusion that Mr. Clinton came when he was president.
How are you going to deal with the union? That's one of the issues.
How are you going to deal with the AMA?
They brought up this kind of conversation on Bill Maher's latest show. It's the last one of the year. And I'm a Republican. I like Maher. It's very entertaining. And they had a good conversation. And they talked about the recent deficit committee. Newly formed deficit commission. One of their suggestions apparently was extending the retirement age to 69 years old. And they said, well, what is that going to really do? You know, if you got your major, your spenders, defense being the biggest, and then you got Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and then anything else after that is maybe like, what, 0 to 0.99% of the actual budget.
Right. Carl, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
There we go.
Does it work?
It does work. Wow, we got a solution to our technical problem. Ask a question, caller.
What kind of cigar are you guys smoking?
What kind of cigar are we smoking? Al, what are you smoking?
I'm smoking a Temple Hall.
Temple Hall, that's a new one. That is a new one. But, caller, thanks a lot for calling in. Appreciate your taking the time. What I'd like to do is go back to what you were talking about. is the cuts.
It's going to require, and they're in short supply. I think you're going to have to find some people who are going to come here not yelling and screaming about cut things, but who will actually cut them, knowing that they will be serving one term, two terms max. We may even be president. We may even, even this president is in the chair at the time when we should be making the cuts. What if he decides this really has to be done for the good of the country, and I will fall on my sword in order to get it done?
Al, when was the last time you heard anything bad about the Ford administration?
Aside from shifting to pardoning Nixon.
But that was actually what I was bringing up. I mean, Nixon never wanted the presidency. He somehow landed in it, and then he did all these different things that he thought were going to be popular.
You said Nixon, you meant Ford, right?
Yes, I'm sorry, I meant Ford. But Ford said, all right, I figure I'll probably be a president. I don't want the presidency. It's falling to my lap. I'm going to do the best of my ability. But there we have it. And he pardoned Nixon, said a long national nightmare is over, and let's just be honest, try to rebuild the country. And I think that would actually be one of the finest examples of a presidency.
We have to find some statesmen, and we all remember what Harry Truman said.
Yes.
Statesman is a dead politician.
Been dead for 20 years. Yeah.
And I simply don't see any way that we're going to deal with this problem in a popular way. Now, can we find can anyone in the body politic explain convincingly to the American public that this is essential, that it hurt now because we'll later, with in fact, I can think of several hundred ways it could have been spared. But will you be able to get the American public to understand they will sacrifice in war? Americans have demonstrated over and over again they will make serious sacrifices in war. And is there a way that a stand-up, courageous politician can make this the financial equivalent of war and thereby get the American public behind them so that it will take several, maybe many tough years in order to not end up 20 years from now being totally dominated by China, economically and even possibly militarily. Can you make that? It seems to me that's the argument that has to be made, given the cuts that will have to be made if we're serious about reducing financial problems.
And we have another caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul. You guys' audio keeps breaking up, you know.
It does. Well, we're trying to fix that. We're trying to fix that problem. We're definitely trying to make a point of trying to find the solution. How do you hear us now?
I hear you good. I don't know if it's when more than one person talks or something. You don't have that duplex thing going on, whatever you call it.
Well, we're trying to try and fix that. We're trying to find a technical solution to this. But if we keep breaking up, we just ask that you stay with us, and hopefully we'll get the technical issues resolved. Where are you calling from, by the way, caller?
Call from Georgia.
Call from Georgia. Well, we appreciate you calling, and we hope that you'll stay with us, and we hope that we'll have better technical issues down the road.
All right, man. Put me back
at home. What you forgot. Take care. Okay, so apparently we're getting word that we were breaking up. Apparently it's sounding a lot better now that we're connected to the cell phone. So I didn't mean to interrupt the program.
No.
Al?
No.
But it's good that we are getting hosts. So anyway, I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. We're going to deal with a couple of the technical issues real quick. And we'll close out with Freeform telling us what something we don't know. And we'll go around the whole table on this one. So stay with us for a few minutes. We'll be back in 2 minutes to close out the show. This is Backroom Politics live from Shelley's Back Room in downtown Washington, D.C. Again with Shelley's Back Room. Back Room Politics live from Shelley's Back Room, 1331 F Street in beautiful downtown Washington, D.C. Joining me as always, Al Swift. Al Swift, former member of Congress, Washington 2nd Congressional District. Ralph Winnie, Vice President of the Eurasia Center. Myself, Justin Russell, your host as always every Tuesday. And a round table of political insiders. One of them We lost Cindy. We lost our token female. Where did she go? Oh, there it is. And then we're going to continue on. We're going to finish out the last 10 minutes of the show. Hopefully you guys are getting good coverage now because I think we fixed at least one of the technical issues, but we'll give it a shot. As we do in every Tuesday at the last 10 minutes of the show, we go around the table, tell us something we don't know about something going on in politics. It can be anything. That comes on, it could be anything, it could be breaking news, some good political intelligence, always helpful. But I'm going to go around the table. I'm going to start with Ralph. Ralph, tell me something I don't know.
Looks like Obama's going to sit down with Biden, talk about how to bring oversight to the stimulus.
Really?
Yeah.
How so?
Well, they're trying to develop a way to hold people accountable for what they said they don't know about what they spent. This has been a huge problem. Because,
is it going to be worse than PAYGO? Is it going to be worse than... I mean, how can it get any worse?
There's no paper trail.
And, wow.
Yeah. So
which is funny because today Secretary Gates announced that he was going to put the price of every report that comes out of DOD on the front cover so Congress knows how much that report cost them tax dollar-wise.
Who said that?
Secretary Gates did that today. Something, again, we don't know.
The key is to hold people accountable for what they say they cut.
Can that be successful now?
I don't know. I have a lot of confidence in Gates, he's been a real leader over there in many, many ways. Why not? Why not?
Wow. Wow. Al, tell us something we don't know.
Something that's been true for a long time, and the media never caught up on it, which doesn't necessarily mean too much, because they very frequently don't know what's going on. But for the last 20 years, I would say, we have been electing liberal Democrats who are fiscally conservative. You go up and talk to a lot of the younger ones. I'm out of these tax and spend generation. These guys are liberals on social programs. They are liberals on that whole set of things. They are, however, people who can't believe we can be spending ourselves the way we're doing. Now, this is a whole new thing when you talk about Nancy Pelosi's job, if she's going to be the party leader.
Right.
She's going to have a lot of people that aren't blue dogs, but who are saying, we got to do something about this fiscal policy. And I think that it'll probably be years before the Republicans will start calling them tax and spend liberals, because that sells, and it's almost a trademark by now. But the fact is, there's going to be a lot of pressure from people you wouldn't expect to look at their domestic liberalism that are going to be pressing hard for doing something about the deficit.
Anything from you, Matt Keller? Tell us something we don't know.
Well, we're not on the site of only single sourced it, granted.
We don't do with rumors and anyone does.
Oh, well, then never mind then. it's not really a rumor. I mean, it's single sourced it.
Okay.
But apparently Michigan's governor-elect, Republican, kind of a guy, came out of nowhere. I know a lot of people were pulling for Hoekstra. Governor Snyder from Michigan has apparently appointed a liberal Democrat who has been a strong proponent against townships in the state of Michigan. He wants to get rid of township system, which is one of the big three. You know, you got villages, you got townships, and you got cities. And from my own personal experience, being in Michigan, township has actually been the most successful, so he's actually against those. And we'll be interesting to see what the backlash is on that.
Okay. Bob Hines, who has stepped out of the studio to go to a pressing engagement in Arlington County, Virginia. We'll get for two next week. But again, for those of you guys who are calling in, for the supporters of the show, we really appreciate your time. We really appreciate your comments. We really want to thank you. We believe that this will be big. We believe that what we're doing here is going to get a lot of support. We've had a lot of people be supportive of us in emails, in phone calls. Next week, hopefully, we will continue to progress and deal with some of these technical issues. But I'm going to say thanks for everybody for joining in. Thanks to our audience here. Al?
And in order to deliver the martini before Do we have any idea how many times we've been off the air?
No, I'm figuring that's going to be a $200 tab right there and then. Yeah, for those of you listening, if you guys want a free martini, if you can tell us exactly the number of times, I'll buy you a steak dinner if you can tell me the times that we popped off. Give me exact minute and hour, and I'll buy you a steak. And Ralph, Al, Bob Hines, who's not here, thank you very much. Our special panel today. Cindy Hu, who's just walking back into the smoke enclosed. I keep doing that. Wow, I'm going to get hit for that one, aren't I?
Say goodbye, Cindy.
Cindy, say goodbye. There we go. Join next week, as always, Tuesdays, 4 to 6 on Blog Talk Radio. This is Backroom Politics live from Shelley's Back Room in Washington, D.C. Folks, have a great day. She's giving them kisses now. That's a great send-off. Thank you.